Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Here's a mistake and a throw. Puck by Richard. Score! A taser from Jonathan Toews, his first.
Hello, hockey fans, and how are you doing today? It's Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. We're here for Season 6, Episode 25, an episode we're calling the Newendyke, the Newsy. Joe Newendyke, he wore 25 for a long time, so we're going to talk about him at some point in this show. Excuse me, it is Monday, April 29th. You're listening on UMFM 101.5 in Winnipeg, 5 p.m. every Monday. That's how you get us. We were on, we're recording, I'm going to spoil the magic of the radio. We were recording this Sunday night. But last week we did the show live. It's co-host Tom here with you, by the way. And I've got, as always, co-host Jared. And he and I last week did the show live from the UMFM studio, which was super fun. And it was Pledgerama week, and what a week it was. Jared, can we tell the listeners a little bit about Pledgerama to recap for them? We had so many people, listeners and friends of the show, donate. It was just, you know, it's amazing. And the station, you know, people came out and, you know, showed their support, and it's great to see.
Yeah, it was awesome. So Pledgerama is UMFM's annual fundraising drive. We did it last week, April 19th through the 26th, and it marked the first time that we had done the pledge in 4 years, and ne'er I say we smashed our goal. Our goal was to raise $28,000 over the course of the week, and at last count, and donations have been coming in steadily since the phone lines got
trickling
shut down.
In.
Trickling in, so currently sit at $37,160.61.
Where does that penny come from? We don't even have pennies.
So, let me tell you, because you asked, we had a listener who lives in England, donated £20, and the exchange rate on £20 is $34.11.
So, nice.
Yeah. Keith from England, thank you for that penny.
Yeah.
And so I am happy to say that of that total, $687.75 was raised by this humble hockey program. And we got donations from all sorts of good folks, including some we don't even know.
Which is pretty fun to kind of find out. Yeah. But let's run down the list. We'll shout out each of our donors here.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, what an awesome job by everybody chipping in like that. And, you know, we had those great incentives, bookmarks and jerseys and all that. I guess we kind of have to decide now, you know, where all those prizes are going. So that'll be our next kind of thing. And we'll have to announce that maybe. You know,
next week.
Well, next week or whenever we get that sorted out, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, of course, you know, we had on our Pledgerama show last week, we had the live trivia segment with listeners Aaron, Vince, and Carter. And, you know, for playing along, they each got a sweet little prize too. But the donors for Talkin' Hockey, listener Tim Podolsky, I want to just shout out to Tim. He's been on fire in our Go Jerts Go WhatsApp thread, which is a group of friends who, you know, when a Jets game is on, there's some messages going around. His theory is that Winnipeg drivers are extra bad after a loss. He gets cut off a lot more after a loss.
It's probably not wrong.
Yeah. And so they're going to be extra bad this week because of all the losses. Anywho, Tim Podolsky, Sheldon Burney, friend of the show, local author, hockey player, Carter Hankey, aforementioned Carter the Car Guy, Jackson McGilvery, Bill Podolsky. I think that's Tim's dad, is it not?
Yeah.
Big hockey
yeah.
guy there too. Shout out to him.
Won a national championship for the Manitoba Bisons.
Yeah.
And would like to do an interview at some point on this show.
Well, we should accommodate that.
Well, I think we should accommodate that. Yep.
And I don't want to slander the local Manitoba U of M Bisons hockey program, but time for the men's team to maybe get it together a little bit, eh? Like, it's been a while since they've been any good. Not that I'm criticizing. Zach Leclerc, Andrew Fenwick, Michael Elves, Vince Tietaert, Trevor Alexander, Neil Jacobs, and Richard Lauren. And yeah, all that adds up to some sweet donations.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
thank
for
you
sure.
To each and every one of them.
I will mention two things before we proceed. Trevor Alexander is the host of The Hockey Show.
That's right. He also umpires baseball.
Yes, he's a heck of an umpire, a heck of a hockey show host. Their program airs on Thursdays from 5:30 to 6:30. And Jackson McGilvery, who you mentioned, his father is Don McGilvery, who is a longtime hockey coach, coached the Bisons for a while, coached the Brandon Wheat Kings for a while. So pretty well known in Winnipeg hockey circles.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not dissing the Bisons. I just think they gotta get better. They gotta get back to the glory days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's Pledgerama kind of all wrapped up. And like I say, we'll figure out all the prizes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be getting that organized in the coming days or so.
Yeah. Well, I will say there have been a couple of listeners who have already claimed some of those prizes. We were kind of doing a pick a prize type thing.
Okay.
I gotta say, I wasn't anticipating that we were going to have so many wonderful donors. So I restocked on the weekend with some really sweet reading material at the St. Vitale book sale, St. Vitale Mall book sale. So I think everybody's going to get a book to go along with their classic Jets 1.0 bookmark. And then,
there's some good ones in there.
Oh, yeah. There's a good looking Lanny McDonald. biography,
which is relevant to today's episode in a way, because as we all know, I'm sure, we lost Bob Cole, legendary Hockey Night in Canada announcer, passed away at the age of 90 just this past Thursday, I believe it was. And so we're going to play some classic Cole clips here on Talking Hockey this week, and you know there's a good one when it comes to Lanny McDonald. So that'll be coming up. But yeah, some real good books you found there, Jared. Tropica Hockey by Vince Tietaert's favorite. Dave Bedin.
I didn't even think about that. I pulled the Ken Dryden book, Scotty, on Scotty Bowman, thinking that maybe Vince, being a Red Wings fan, might want that one.
Yeah,
but I think we should maybe force him to
just
take
force
Tropic
him.
Of Hockey. No, yeah, maybe he should get Tropic of Hockey. Yeah, yeah. But anyways, so all of you great listeners out there who donated, we will be in touch because we got prizes. But again, can't thank you enough. Super appreciative of the support, and it's you know, we have fun doing this show, and I think it's always reassuring to know that people have fun listening to us. So
yeah,
100%. Yeah,
yeah.
So what can you tell me about Joe Nieuwendyk?
Well, I can tell you that he wore number 25, Jared, and he wore number 25 for most of his career. The only time he didn't wear 25 was his rookie season, and I don't think he wore it his full rookie season. I think he just wore it, like, you know, training camp. And then at some point the coach was like, you know what, kid, you're staying on the team. And then he got the number he wanted, which was 25. And that team was the Calgary Flames. And that year was 1986-87. And he was a 20-year-old. And he came up. You know what it was? He wore 18. He came up. He played 9 games. He went to Cornell University. Ever heard of it?
I have. The Big Red.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ken Dryden.
He went to Cornell too, didn't he?
Also went to Cornell, yes.
Yeah, so did Winnipeg Jet Morgan Barron, but of course Barron, were you know, the Jets are missing him right now. He hasn't played in the playoffs due to injury. But more on him later. We're talking Joe Nieuwendyk.
Yeah.
So he came in the following season as a 21-year-old, 87-88, and he won the Rookie of the Year trophy, the Calder Trophy. Why? Because he scored 51 goals as a rookie in 75 games.
Well,
not too shabby at all.
And he was on pace through his first 42 to surpass Mike Bossy's rookie record of 53. Ultimately, obviously, finished short
Timu,
on that. And then
Timo would bust it wide open a couple years later anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a good thing he didn't kind of waste his
didn't waste that. Yeah.
That. But you know what? He scored 51 in back-to-back seasons as a 21 and 22-year-old for Calgary. And then the following season, of course, was 88-89, the year that Calgary went to the Stanley Cup final and won. They had previously gone to the final in 86, but lost. This time, they won. And that's a classic series, which, again, we're going to hear a little Bob Cole clip about that in a little while. Joe Nieuwendyk, I mean, I'll give you the accolades. He's in the Hall of Fame, you know. He's
Correct.
A 3-time Stanley Cup winner. He won the Calder Memorial as a Rookie of the Year. He was on the All-Rookie team, if that's anything you care about. He was the 94-95 King Clancy Memorial Trophy winner. The Clancy, that's like for dedication and perseverance to the game, I think, maybe. Is that what that one is?
Player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and made a significant humanitarian contribution to his community.
Okay.
Yes.
And then he won the 98-99 Conn Smythe, which is the playoff MVP. That would have been Dallas winning the Stanley Cup that year. And he played for Dallas. The infamous Brett Hull skate in the crease. Dominic Hasek, you know. Sprawling out, trying to make the save. And of course, Nieuwendyk was listed as one of the NHL's 100 greatest players in 2017-18, which was the 100-year anniversary of the NHL. He played, you know, Nieuwendyk, you know, he played for a bunch of teams. Most of his games were between Calgary and Dallas, but he had stops in New Jersey, Florida, and Toronto. You know, he accumulated career-wise regular season 1,257 games, 564 goals, 1,126 points. So just under a point per game on his career. He probably, you know, he played until he was 40, and the points weren't, you know, the last couple years they were still like. He was still a solid producer, but, you know, not as much as his early days kind of thing. So,
nope.
That average went down. But, yeah, a great career. His Stanley Cups, so one was in Calgary.
Yep. One was in Dallas.
One was in Dallas. Oh, and the third one.
Was with New
his
Jersey,
final one
wasn't
was
it?
In New Jersey.
Yeah.
As a 36-year-old with the Devils in 02-03. And, yeah, I mean, his Conn Smythe year, though, he had 21 points in 23 games, 11 playoff goals. And, he just, you know, basically was the Stars' number one, like, you know, top line center, if you will. Took care of business.
Yeah. So you mentioned the double back-to-back 51 goal seasons. So at the time, he was the third fastest player to reach the 100th 100 goal mark in his career, did so in his 144th career game. Only Mike Bossy and Maurice Richard did it quicker, and was also the third player in the league to score 50 goals in each of his first two seasons. Bossy and Wayne Gretzky did that little trick. Always seemed to answer the bell for Team Canada, wore the maple leaf a number of times.
Yeah.
Played at the World Juniors in 1986, where he helped Canada win a silver medal. And then he played in 1998. The first year that NHL players were allowed to participate at the Olympics.
In Nagano?
Yeah, yeah.
The infamous Nagano Olympics.
Yeah. So he was in the shootout loss against the Czech Republic that year.
Did he take a shootout shot?
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of several players that... Dominic Hasek shut down.
Right.
And
of
yeah.
course, Gretzky. I said infamous Nagano games because
Gretzky
of course,
did not get to
Canada
shoot.
Did not medal. And in the game where we were trying to, you know, get through, we got eliminated.
Yeah.
Gretzky went to shootout and Gretzky didn't get a shot.
Yeah. He also played 2002 on the checking line, quote unquote, with Brendan Shanahan and Thurin Fleury. Pretty good checking line.
It's a good line.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Joe Nieuwendyk, vastly underrated because he was a big guy, 6'2", 200 pounds, a solid sized centerman, which, you know, he could play kind of any role. He had hands, he could score.
Yeah.
Good
guy in the faceoff dot.
Yeah, faceoffs, he was great. But yeah, just like if you wanted a third line guy like on a Team Canada, he, you know, doesn't get any better than having Joe Nieuwendyk there.
Yeah.
He's born in Oshawa, which I'm familiar with, and Oshawa famous for, you know, being the home of the Generals, and which is where Bobby Orr and Eric Lindros played and all that. But Joe actually grew up in neighboring Whitby, home of Danny Margarita from your Whitby Club Seals. Yeah. So back in those days, though, Whitby and Oshawa were pretty like two different. I mean, they were like two different towns. Whitby was kind of like a village, but now it's all just one big thing, one big schmozzle. But yeah, it's you know, that's an area of rich hockey history, I would say. And
well,
he played. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say he played for the Whitby Warriors.
Yeah,
which was like, you know, one of those junior A teams that kind of produced a lot of guys back in the day.
There you go.
Yeah.
Joe Nieuwendyk, all sorts of connections all over the place. And then obviously when he retired, he was a general manager for Dallas for a number of years.
Very involved in that Dallas organization. And I don't know what he does nowadays, though. I couldn't really figure it out.
Hasn't done anything hockey related with an organization anyway since 2018. He was last a scout with Carolina. So
yeah.
Joe Nieuwendyk, heck of a guy. Good number 25, Joe Nieuwendyk.
A very solid number 25. We're gonna play a Bob Cole clip now. We're gonna segue talking that. So 89 Cup Finals. Lanny McDonald had a big game for the Flames.
Yep.
Did he? What was it? It was the game winner.
He scored the game winner. It was first goal. First goal in the playoffs. Scored the game winner, and then retired.
Retired. Yeah. Won the cup. Retired. Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Known for rocking one heck of a mustache throughout his career. He's also rocking a full thick red playoff
beard.
Oh, it's so good. And he's got that big round helmet. Yeah. So,
yeah.
All anyways, right, so Bob Cole on the call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lemieux lost it. And the Flames clear the zone with 15 seconds left in the penalty. Delaney McDonald. 1-1 tie here in the second. Canadians start back. Lemieux up to Skoglund. Skoglund centered it. Here's a chance for Chelios. He steps in. Chelios coming in. Oh, the pass to Lemieux. He missed it. Penalty is over. And the Flames, four of them, get out. Up to center and coming in is Lou. Gildenike centered it. McDonald scores. Danny McDonald.
All right, that was Bob Cole on the call there from the 1989 Stanley Cup Finals, the year that the Calgary Flames won their one and only Stanley Cup. They won't be winning any Stanley Cups this year because they didn't make the dance. I'll tell you probably who else isn't going to be winning a Stanley Cup this year is your Winnipeg Jets. But Jarrett, never say never. They're only down 3-1 in the series. And if you don't,
I appreciate
it happened you. Before that teams yeah, have I... come back. I don't know that I'm actually that optimistic. I don't think, just by the way, the look, the games have not been close. I mean, that's not true. They were close. The wheels came off. The Jets have been having their hands full with the Colorado Avalanche. It's particularly frustrating for Jets fans, I would say, because they've looked nothing like the Winnipeg Jets that we watched all season long,
right?
To say, hey, this is a good defensive team that let in the fewest goals in the NHL at 198 in the whole season. The only team to let in less than 200. Hey, this is a Jets team, you know, with depth that can roll four lines and the forecheck just gets on you and it wears you down and all these things. We haven't seen any of that. It's been...
Connor Hellebuck is the front runner for the Vezina Trophy, and
yeah, and
he also got pulled after the second period today, and
which
has allowed a lot of goals so far.
I was of the opinion, to be honest, that I know Connor Hellebuck is your ride or die, if you want to call him that.
Yep.
But also, it's the playoffs, and you should just care about wins, and I kind of thought Brossoit should have got the start in game, well, in any game so far, basically, except for game one, because obviously, you know, but yeah, well, he hasn't. He came in the third period in a game that they were already down 5-1 or something like that. So
okay. Questionable potential, you know, coaching decisions. Let's put those to the side for a minute, and let's talk about where things are at. Okay, Gary Galley, who's been doing the color on this series, I think he made a good point when he said that if the Colorado goaltender Georgiev had played the way in game one that he's played in games two, three, and four, that the series would probably be done.
It'd be over.
It'd be over already. Okay, so Winnipeg gets away with one in the first game. What did it end up? 7-6, okay. So then game two?
That game two was 5-2. 5-2, then 6-3, or sorry, 6-2, and then 5-1. So basically the Avalanche are putting up touchdowns. The Jets are struggling to get shots, let alone goals.
Well,
they're following their typical 2-to-1 shot ratio for the opponent, if not more. But
I watched a healthy dose of the game on Friday, and going into the third period, the Jets were up 2-1, and
which should have been money.
Should have
been
money.
The wheels fell off hard.
And Colorado came out and scored five goals in the third. And then the game today, again, it's just like it's 1-1 after the first. And then Colorado scores three unanswered. And the thing is like we talked about this sort of throughout the season. We talked about this the last time we had an episode. Like Colorado as a matchup, you can't get into like a scoring contest with them because they're going to beat us, right? And it's like,
but I think, you know, I mean, coaching decisions aside, I guess it's kind of the Jets are approaching the series with their plan, which is probably to try and, you know, slow down the Avs through the neutral zone and stay on the forecheck and all these things. It hasn't worked a bit.
Nope.
And they have no answer for what Colorado is doing. And basically Colorado has sort of been able to dictate the pace of play and play their style. Winnipeg hasn't been able to get it going for, I mean, they've had a period here or there where they kind of got it going, but you know, when they haven't been able to capitalize or score at the timely junctures. You know, I mean, they had a couple power plays today where it was in the third period, they had an early power play, and it's like, you know, you're down 3-1, you score a goal different. Anyway,
it's been tough to watch, and I think that you know, for a lot of people in and around this community too, it's a lot of the same, right? It's the worst case scenario that everybody had somewhere buried deep in the recesses of their mind, being like, nope, this is a different team.
Crap,
it is. But I mean, I think that, you know, Colorado was gonna give the Jets problems, and that's the thing. But I didn't think that it was gonna be like this, right? Like,
no.
I don't understand what has happened to the defense and what has happened to the goaltending. And
no, it's, I mean, they've been hanging Hellebuck out to dry, but at the end of the day, the goalie's gotta come up with saves. And Hellebuck, you look at his last eight playoff games, his numbers are awful. They're
not
awful.
Good.
And to me, you know, my whole thing about, oh yeah, maybe they should have started Brossoit now, is like, they got this guy who's had a great season. I don't know, like, I don't understand why they don't use him. I do understand, because of contracts or whatever.
Sure.
And Hellebuck's your guy and blah, blah, blah. But I think that winning should take precedence, but it doesn't in this town sometimes, because you look at the Paul Maurice situation, how long that dragged out.
Right.
If it had been any other city, they would have fired him so long before it dragged out and he had to quit, you know?
I mean,
because winning isn't the be-all and end-all here in Winnipeg for the Jets. There are other considerations that need to, you know, and you know, that's the market, as they like to say, but
for sure. So, okay. So here's my question. And like, talking about Brossoit, like, the guy won a Stanley Cup last year as part of like a goaltending carousel. Like, he did not carry the load, but he performed when he needed to.
Several of their wins on the way to the cup.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about some of the decisions, some of the things that I guess haven't worked out or haven't even been attempted. So Brendan Dillon gets hurt.
Well,
gruesome.
I mean,
go ahead.
First
sorry.
Of all, yeah. Brendan Dillon gets hurt. So Stanley's back in today. And he takes two stupid back-to-back penalties. And you know, that's all.
I don't,
you know,
understand.
Logan Stanley is very polarizing.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of defensemen are very polarizing. And I mean, you know, I don't know if I want to throw Neil Pionk's name out there, because you know, we could go down that road. But
the, like, Jets defense, sorry, go ahead.
They go out at the deadline and they acquire Paul Miller, who is a veteran guy, has been through a number of playoff battles, right? And he's a physical guy too, right? He's a physical guy. He's a right-handed defenseman. Move the puck a little bit. And yet, you know, like, Schmidt is back in. And I will say, Nate Schmidt played good today. He did play good. He scored the only goal. He had a chance in the third. But Schmidt, Stanley, right? Why is Miller not getting a shot?
Oh, fair point. And when you think about the Jets defense, this summer they'll have a couple of guys that are UFA.
Yeah.
And so I think the Jets defense is going to look somewhat different next season. That's for sure. What it'll look like, I don't know, but they should take notes, because the way Colorado's skating and playing, they have made the Jets defense look slow, unorganized, unable to get breakout passes going, all the rest of it. But the main thing, mm-hmm. and the Avs in general have made the Jets look very slow.
Sure. And to that end, go ahead. Sorry.
I have to finish that thought. Sorry. I hear through, you know, internet comments and whatever, that a lot of Jets fans, they want to see more Dylan types, bigger, badder defense, etc. But that's not the way the game is anymore. And I think that, like, a guy like Ville Heinola, who we've heard about is how he can skate, how he can move the puck and yada yada, but he can't get a chance to play in the NHL. But I mean, and I'm not saying that he's going to make any difference, and I'm not saying that they're even going to call him up, but mm-hmm. a defenseman of that style,
mm-hmm.
you know, is maybe the Jets lack anybody. Like, I mean, Dylan DeMello, he's fine.
Yep.
He's one of the UFAs. I'd consider looking at his contract, trying to bring him back. Jets probably will. Because him and Morrissey kind of pair up pretty nicely.
Pretty good tandem.
And DeMello's fairly reliable. Brendan Dillon is a UFA. I don't think he'll be back.
But is unfortunate, because
it is. I think he's a fan favorite.
And I think everybody, that he brings a bit of an edge, which
you need.
Which is, I think, for the most part, is pretty lacking on this team.
Yeah, and I think the Jets probably missed him today, Sunday, when they lost.
Sure.
And, you know, Stanley was in, but I think he probably didn't see a whole lot of ice after his two consecutive penalties. So
no, well, and they try and float Stanley as being a guy who's got that bit of an edge too. But I mean, Dylan is a steady defenseman. Dylan doesn't make a lot of bad mistakes.
Dylan doesn't take
a lot of bad penalties, right?
He's where he should be.
Yeah.
You know, and he keeps plays simple. And so anyway, I guess the Jets D, we'll see what happens, but it looks different. And why aren't they playing Miller? It's hard to say.
Well,
and up front, though, they've been can't score goals, and they got Cole Perfetti sitting in the press box.
Well, okay, so this is the next thing that I was going to say, right, is they did make a move. They do call somebody up from the Moose. Could have been Ville Heinola. But no, it's our old pal Axel Janssen Fjällby.
Yeah.
Why is Perfetti not playing? I don't get that. The guy scored 19 goals. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to come out, he's going to be a world beater, he's going to turn the tide, but he did.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Put him and
like
Ehlers has been struggling.
Sure.
I mean, he's had a couple awful games in a row,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
They've even
like flip-flopped him and Niederreiter.
Yeah.
A couple times.
And
right?
So I'm not sure what the answer is for the forwards, but nobody's getting it done. Nobody's getting it done. And I don't see what the harm of bringing Cole Perfetti in and throwing him on the second line is, because
The second line has been horrible, right? Between Monahan to Foley, two big acquisitions, right? They've got 2 points between the two of them in now four games. You know, Toffoli scored a pretty decent goal on Friday night, had a breakaway, kind of got robbed on that. But if you look, right, and this is like the last time that we talked about this playoff series in advance, we talked about how Colorado, like at the deadline, they went out and they turned over a quarter of their roster. And it was like, wow, that's a lot of new guys to integrate into the system. And almost all of them are playing decent minutes. Like Mittelstadt has been all over the place. Sean Walker has been, I think, like Colorado's defense is so fun to watch because they move the puck. They're quick. I mean, it's easy with a guy like Cale Makar, who is just so good.
The goal he scored on Sunday night was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Lowry had a chance to paste him into next week on that rush, but he didn't take it because I don't know why.
Well,
because it's the no hitting league, I suppose. But
sure. Last thing that we should say is quit taking penalties.
Well, then that should have been the first thing we should say.
Because, hey, guess what? Colorado has a really good power play.
Yeah.
The
penalties have been problematic, to say the least.
And now, right, like at one point, like we're watching the game today, and my associate tells me that Winnipeg has now received the last 12 penalties in a row or something, right? Now, I did see some folks talking on the internet, hey, ref, it goes two ways, right?
Well, some of the calls have been
questionable. But then there's other stuff, right? Like the other night, Pionk flips the puck over the glass. They have to call that. Yeah. They're going to call that every single time. Yeah. And that puts us on a 5-on-3, right? Oh, guess what? Colorado's going to score on that every single time. So,
oh, yeah. The Avalanche have been doing a good job of making the Jets pay when the opportunity arises. Jets, the power play looked good in game one, and it hasn't yet since. You know, the Jets' main issue, the low shot count, they've not been able, this is what happened against Vegas last year, they've not been able to get to the front of the net. There's been no play in the slot area, you know, it's all outside, they can't get shots through, all this kind of thing. So I don't know what happens all of a sudden, you know.
Well, okay.
Like, what's so different than what they've been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Teams really focus on their defense, I guess, and clogging up the middle of the ice and not letting shots through and whatever. But
sure,
I mean, I don't know why the Jets have not been able to find a way to,
break
through, to get shots.
This go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say. I mean, part of it is that the Avs have made the Jets look slow.
Yeah, for sure. So we need to take a break. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back on the other side of things, let's fix it. Let's figure out how the Jets are going to win three games in a row. And then let's talk some more playoffs. Cause honestly, it's the time of year.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going besides your Winnipeg Jets. I mean, did you see the meltdown in Toronto?
Yeah. I had not, and I thank you very much for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah.
So we
got
Bob another
Cole clip. Are we going to go with?
This is from 1993 Montreal Canadiens Stanley Cup victory. Nah. Yes.
So this was like honestly the epitome. Is that the right word? The apex of my like hockey fandom, I think. As an adult, I'm super into hockey because I've always liked stats and numbers and fantasy hockey and watching hockey and whatever. But like
talking
when I was
hockey.
A kid and talking hockey, right? Mm. Playing hockey, all that stuff. But as a kid, when getting into hockey and Bob Cole, rest in peace. He was amazing. Just the voice of a generation, really, right? Like we all grew up with him.
Saturday night,
calling the games.
Bob and Harry. Yeah, Bob and Harry.
And that was that tandem, and with Dick Irvin on the sidelines or whatever. That trio, man. Oh, so good. And 93, obviously the last time that a Canadian team won the cup, it was the Montreal Canadiens. They won it on home ice against the LA Kings. And that series was like, I don't know, it was just like huge in my sort of personal experience. And just this call of Bob Cole, you know, Denny Savard was on the Habs at that time, but he was out injured. And so he wasn't playing. And Guy Carboneau accepts the cup. And, you know, there's all the crowd of everybody. And it wasn't as formal as it is now. It was just like the rush of the team all came in. And then Bob with the call. It's pretty great. Let's listen here now on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show.
Nobody's surprise. Here's the winner of the Conn Smythe Trophy, just announced, Patrick Waugh. He's just made the announcement for the whole world that the Canadians have won the Stanley Cup. And here's Captain Guy Carboneau with Denny Savard right there. They love that little guy, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Denny Savard wasn't in the lineup. To really enjoy this, as only the players that are in the lineup do.
Champion de la Coupe Stanley.
All right, we'll watch a parade that every
Montreal
kid
Canadiens
in Canada
Stanley
and
Cup
elsewhere
champion
would love to take part in. This parade around your home arena with the Stanley Cup. Edmonton started that one?
Yes.
The picture for now will treasure forever.
Here come the coaches.
No lining up, no getting ready. Let's get together, boys, because without being together, we might not be here. Here they are.
All right, that was Bob Cole on the call from the 1993 Stanley Cup Final between the Montreal Canadiens and LA Kings. That was Guy Carboneau and the Habs taking the cup on parade. Love that call. So iconic. The voice of Bob Cole. And, of course, he passed away this past week at age 90. And, yeah, I mean, he's been retired from Hockey Night in Canada for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the voice of Hockey Night in Canada for like what, 50 years or something? Like,
I would say
something
like that. Yeah. I mean, like I said, he was Mr. Saturday Night for a lot of folks. Yeah. I mean, him, Harry Neal, Dick Irvin. Dick Irvin was always like such a Montreal Canadiens homer for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
And Bob was such a Leafs homer for obvious reasons, but you know, he was just such an iconic voice. And obviously 91, he had a really good run, but it's still very, very sad to lose such a pivotal part of my childhood, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think, and I've really been enjoying some of the memories of Cole being shared, you know, on during the playoff broadcasts and all that kind of stuff too, like pretty good. And it's a long and productive life to look back on, you know. He's got a lot of just core memories for people our age who grew up watching hockey in Canada, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, lots of hockey going on right now.
Yeah.
You got the first round of the playoffs. I feel like there's some series that are going to end anytime now.
Yeah. You know? Well, so here's the question. And we won't dwell on it because honestly, I'm kind of tired of talking about the Winnipeg Jets a little bit. Not much to talk about, but if there was a opportunity for this team to somehow turn things around and win three games in a row against these Colorado Avalanche, where does it start? How does it start? And where's the magic? How does it happen?
Well, I think it's two things. I think the goaltending's just got to show up, be better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they got to start taking more shots, you know, maybe allow fewer shots, but that's all part and parcel, I would say. If you've got the puck more and are taking more shots, you're probably not giving up as many. I mean, the shot totals have been kind of ridiculous. I think, you know, it's been 40 to 20 basically is what we're looking at. And so the Jets got to just start testing Georgiev a lot more, and then they need their own goalie to, you know, whoever's in net, whether that's Hellebuck or Brossoit. They need those guys to come up big. And I mean, Brossoit, I mean, he wasn't tested a whole lot in the third period that he came in Sunday, but at least he didn't let any goals in. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
I think that's basically where it starts and ends.
And Christ's sake, quit taking penalties.
And that too. Yeah.
Because it's just
you
a recipe.
Just keep putting the Avalanche on the power play, they're going to make you pay. So,
yeah.
Yeah. What's the other series that you've been enjoying? Have you been watching any other series?
Well, I'm going to say that I have not been able to watch a whole heck of a lot. Pledgerama basically owned my life last week. But since Friday, I've kind of gotten back into the swing of things. And today was a fantastic day for hockey because, I mean, well, okay, so it started off pretty crappy. You had the Jets game, but then the Vancouver-Nashville game was really, really good. And then you have Washington and the Rangers playing right now. And then in about 20 minutes at the time of our recording, the Oilers and the Kings are going to play. And what's interesting about the Oilers and the Kings is old Jets pal David Rittich is getting the call tonight. He's getting the start between the pipes for the Kings because Cam Talbot kind of got...
Well, he hasn't had the answer for... I mean, Edmonton's been doing to L.A. what Colorado's been doing to Winnipeg, and that is owning them, you know?
Well, and interestingly enough, the Kings taking a lot of penalties, right? Yeah. And you cannot put
lots
them...
of parallels in those two series.
Yeah,
the Rangers, sure. I feel like, I mean, it's a little early to say, but I think they're probably going to sweep Washington with a win on Sunday night here tonight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the New York Islanders staved off elimination with a dramatic double overtime victory in game four.
Wow.
Tampa Bay was able to, you know, finally win a game. That's been a close series, that one. Mm-hmm. The Battle of Florida has been very good. Then, of course, you got your Toronto-Boston, which has been just like, you know, the media circus, the attention that it gets. And, of course, the viral clip now of Willie Nylander on the bench and Matthews is saying something. Marner looks like he's about to start, you know, he's about to break into tears. And Willie Nylander says, "Stop effing crying, bro. This ain't effing Junior." And that's thanks to the lip readers because, you know, we couldn't hear it. But that was pretty clear. And I think he was talking to Mitchie, who then took one glove at a time and slammed him down. And honestly, like... That what a scene that is going on in Toronto.
You know,
hey,
you cannot front on Mitch Marner's like skills, but he always looks like a petulant child.
Oh,
when
absolutely.
things aren't going his
And
way.
you know, his post game interviews are awful too. He's such a brat.
Yeah.
Honestly. If I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs and, you know, they lose again to Boston this year, which it looks like they're gonna, that series is 3-1, just like the Jets and Avs series. But, you know, if I'm Toronto's GM Brad Treliving, I mean, you got to trade Mitch Marner.
One of them's got to go. And I think it's
I don't think it's going to be Willie.
No.
He just signed his fat new contract.
Him.
And
it's
honestly,
definitely not going to be Matthews.
As much as I make fun of Willie, he's not bad.
Yeah.
And Matthews, it's not going to be him.
And
Tavares is, I think, coming off the books soon.
Tavares has a year left.
Yeah, and he's not going anywhere.
He's not
it's
going gotta
anywhere. It's got to be Marner that's going.
Yeah.
He's the only – it's the only solution because you cannot – it's the Toronto Maple Leafs – you can't run it back next year.
No.
And say, this year's going to be different.
Nope.
It's not.
It's not.
The same thing every time. We've seen it. We've seen this movie before. Just like the Jets, we've seen this movie before.
Yeah. The other series that I've really, I've watched, like I get home this past week. I get home late. I decompress. I have a beverage. And I've been watching the highlights and I knew that this was going to go this way. I had this feeling is Vegas and Dallas.
Yeah.
Right. Like Vegas, it's like Vegas has kind of been playing possum a little bit this year. And Dallas came back. Good for them. Won in overtime the other night.
Yeah.
But Vegas is just, they're a veteran team. They're a playoff team.
The defending cup champions. They know what's going on. And
right.
then they added a bunch of really good players at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Thomas Hurdle, Noah Hannifin.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm forgetting someone.
Anthony Mantha is another guy.
Yeah, Mantha. Yeah, so they've got a good, deep team. Logan Thompson gives them good goaltending.
Well,
they're well coached by Bruce Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what's going on. And
the
Dallas, though, no slouches, but they're, you know, everybody was like, oh, we don't want to get Dallas in the first round. But I don't think Dallas is invincible.
I don't think Dallas is invincible. I will say the overtime goal by Wyatt Johnson last night was just spectacular. So good. He came in kind of on the offside and just like put it in the tiniest little space up in the top corner. It's interesting that you mentioned Vegas champions. We talked about it when we were talking about Laurent Brossoit. The Vancouver Canucks are like in this situation that the Knights know super well. Thatcher Demko is out. Casey DeSmith is out. I don't even know what the name of the guy is that they started today.
Artur Siloff or something like that.
Siloff?
Something like that.
I don't know where this guy came from, but
he's been around. He played a few games for him this year.
Okay. And so he started Artur Siloff.
Yeah.
Yes. First ever playoff appearance.
I want to say he's from Latvia. Is he from Latvia?
He is a 23-year-old Latvian netminder.
Nailed it.
And then, for five.
He was the world junior star for the team Latvia a few years ago.
So for five.
Stood on his head, made 75 saves or whatever.
For five bonus points, can you name who they had backing up today? Because they had some other guy. So they've got four goalies on their roster right now.
I can't name the backup. No, I have no idea.
Okay, good. Because you could have said King Richard
the
Brodeur.
Zamboni driver at
Rogers
Arena.
King Richard Brodeur, and I would have said, yeah, okay. Vancouver's looking pretty good.
Yep, absolutely.
I thought Nashville was going to kind of give him some trouble. So.
Well, geez, that game on Sunday, Nashville's up 3-1, minutes left, and they held Vancouver to very few minimal shots in the third period with only a couple minutes left. They had like two shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, looks like this one's in the books. Not so fast. Brock Besser ties it with 8 seconds left, and then Lindholm wins it a minute into overtime. There haven't been a lot of overtimes in this first round so far.
Nope.
There's been a handful, but not. I think it was last year. There was something that was like a record number of overtimes in the playoffs. This year, not so much. And so, you know, I think we've had a Tampa Florida game go to overtime. The New York Carolina one did. We've had a Vegas Dallas one.
Vegas Dallas, yeah.
Vancouver Nashville, and that's
it's usually more. Yeah,
to my knowledge, that's been it.
Yeah.
So,
and there's usually playoffs, usually a lot of overtime games, and
yeah.
Yeah, and it's fun too because you play until you win. There's no 1 point. Everybody goes home happy. Shootout,
yeah.
Business.
Yeah.
So, barring a Jets comeback, who are you liking right now? Who are you?
Well,
liking?
That's what I was just actually going to ask you. And so, if the Jets don't, you know, come down from 3-1 in the series to make something of it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to cheer for? You know what? I think I was like going to default just to Edmonton, but I don't know. I mean, Vancouver is interesting. I think no matter what, it'll be whichever Canadian team is kind of left standing. But in the East, I'm going for the New York Rangers, and I've been talking about the Rangers for a while, and I want the Rangers to go to the Cup final. And so that I'm going for the Rangers, but I think, you know, whatever Canadian team kind of lasts the longest in the West.
Okay, fair enough. I would normally go that way. And I said this to Ethan this afternoon. I said, yeah, you know what? Got to cheer for the Canadian teams. He's like, yeah, but you can't cheer for Edmonton. You might as well cheer for Colorado because it's the same deal. And I said, well.
I love your impression of your teenage son, by the way.
You know, I do have a soft spot for the Colorado Avalanche a little bit.
Yeah.
It's you know, I'm torn.
I would cheer for the Avs if they weren't playing the Jets. I mean,
sure,
it's a team I like. I love
so then,
Nate McKinnon.
So then
if, you know, McCarr.
If they were to advance and play somebody else, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe.
You find yourself cheering for them a little bit. Yeah.
In the
I
East,
can see that.
In the East, I like the Rangers. The Rangers are fun. I like Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I always kind of like Carolina.
Yo,
goes back to what were they? Bunch of idiots or bunch of clowns?
Bunch of jerks.
Bunch of jerks. Yeah.
And look, I'm with Don Cherry on that one. They were a bunch of jerks.
Yeah,
with their fancy showboating and hand clapping and.
Hey, you know what? Wins, man. Let's celebrate them.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you know, like Carolina's a team that looks pretty good. I'm surprised I'm not surprised the Islanders got a win in that series. The Isles, you know, they're a feisty bunch, and they've actually kind of had their moments in that series, but kind of, you know, they gave away that one game. They were up by a couple goals, and then late Carolina came back and won it. That's a heartbreaker, but I think it was game one. They were super close and tight, and the Isles, you thought, you know, I think that the Isles, they might be able to sneak off another game in that series, but Carolina's probably going to take it for sure. Like, I mean, you know, it's, I thought there might be two sweeps in the first round, Rangers over Caps and Carolina over the Isles, but didn't really come to fruition. But, yeah, it's been interesting. I don't know that there's going to be any that go seven.
No.
Maybe Dallas, Vegas?
Well, and then, you know, we're going to knock on wood and hope that Winnipeg somehow finds
Jets are coming back, baby!
Finds a bunch of answers. I think that's probably going to do it for us this week.
Got hopefully another Bob Cole call to.
We do have a classic Bob Cole. Hopefully next week we come back and we're talking happy Jets and not.
Yeah, we could still be talking. Maybe if we're back next week, we're talking Jets still. That, you know, I think we'll talk Jets one way or another, but it'll be whether or not they're still playing.
Sure. The final Bob Cole is like a quintessential.
Yeah.
I had to space that one out because I was going to pronounce it wrong. The Salt Lake 2002 call. You might have heard of it. Canada.
Stand on your feet, Canada.
Yeah.
And cheer for these guys, or however he says it. I forget. Yeah. But
The first hockey gold in 50 years. And yeah, it was a pretty amazing thing. I remember skipping work to watch this game.
Yeah.
I'd do it again.
You know, I'm trying to remember where I was in 02 watching this. I mean, it's easy to remember 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I don't know.
2002. Well, you know, think about it. You've got a whole week next
week.
Yeah,
I'll come back.
I'm going to ask you about it first thing.
Okay.
All right. So here's Bob Cole. Rest in peace. Salt Lake gold medal call. And what do you always say to end the show?
Keep your stick on the ice. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Keep your stick on the ice.
No icing. 1:40 left, third period. They're chanting USA. They're trying, folks. Believe me, they're trying. Through center. Aguilar missed a clearing chance. Housley dropped it back. Canada trying to hang on and get a break. It's going to be a break. It is Joe Sakic. Scores! Gio Sakic scores! And that makes it 5-2 Canada. Surely that's got to be it.
That's more than enough. Take a look at the Canadian bench. If you don't, me when I say...